The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Oh boy, you'd think we're a bunch of liberals being dazed and confused this early. I saw them play that song in person. And the liberals, they're dazed. They're confused.
Yes, they are.
Peace, love, and water beds. You are
on Poke the Hornet's Nest with Nick Gardner, Doug Janke on
Nick,
Sunday
I
line.
Am.
Nick, you are. Boy,
we're not going to tell you where you're at, because if you're listening to us, you know where we're at.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. As you know, I was with Carl the other day on his show, and it says the views and opinions are not of the management. I'm thinking, well, Carl is the management, so that must not apply to him either.
I okay everything we say on here with Carl before the show starts.
I know you do. Carl gives a thumb up. He loves everything we say. He lets me know when I come in on my first Thursday of every month. He's like, so what the hell are you guys doing out there? I'm like, Carl, we're keeping you busy and the SEC light on you. And that's all that matters.
That's right. That's right. Somebody's got it. We've got some really good stuff coming up. I've got a bunch of clips from my cousin, Steve Gardner.
Oh.
Actually, he's not my cousin, but I'd claim him if I could.
Yeah, well, you kind of try to claim all the good stuff and then throw the bad stuff on me, so I don't really trust you anymore.
And I want you to get a pen and a piece of paper, because I've got some information, a couple of phone numbers, and some things you're going to want to write down today. And most people are probably already ready for that. But I had a really good experience here a week ago Wednesday. I took my I took my 13-year-old granddaughter up to a meadow I know up by Bartle. That's between McLeod and Bernie, and taught her how to shoot 22s.
Wow!
And it was pretty neat. She didn't know what she. I never said a word to her, and we got up there, and I flopped out three rifles, a single shot, a five shot clip 22, and a semi-automatic, and a pistol. And she says, I says, have you ever shot a gun, Riley? She says, yeah, I've got my own gun. I says, what is it? She says, a 20-something, a 20, I don't know. I said, 22? Yeah, that's it.
Oh, really?
I says, what kind of rifle is it? She says, it's pink. How many times have you shot it? Twice. Did you load it? No.
Oh, that's cool. So you're giving her gun safety.
Oh, yes. I says, do you know what the muzzle is? No. I says, that's the tip of the barrel. The most important thing about using a firearm is muzzle control. You point it to the ground. The first thing when somebody hands you a gun is you point it to the ground and check to see if it's loaded, because more people get shot with an unloaded gun than a loaded gun. What's that mean? That means somebody handed you a gun and said it wasn't loaded, and it was, and you pointed it at somebody and pulled the trigger.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, I showed her how to load the single shot.
Look at you, Grandpa.
And I set a Joe Comente election sign, yard sign, out about 30 yards. I said, shoot the O. And she dead-centered it.
Oh, wow.
She did have a rest. She was sitting down in another lawn chair for a rest, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And she loaded it herself. There's a little pin you pull back in the back, and it's the safety. You pull it back, and it's off safety, and you shoot. Actually, it engages the firing pin. She shot it about 20 times, and then we moved to the clip. I says, here's how you load the clip. And I showed her, and she sat up there, and it's a bolt action. And she shot and ran it and ran the safety and checked everything, and then she wanted to load the clip herself, so she did that.
Yeah, well, normally if you get a kid interested in anything that's worth a darn, they'll want to take over and do it themselves. I mean, that's one of the things with kids, is they're so curious. If you can do something that they go, oh, that's cool, they'll take it over. You don't have to force feed them.
And then I handed her the semi-automatic, and I says, how do you load this? And she was stumped. It's got a little rod at the end of the stock, and you can put in, I think, 11 shells.
Oh.
Put this rod back in, and she got up there and shot it, and then she loaded it.
Wow.
And she fanner 50'd it, and I said, Riley, you've got to aim for every shot. You don't just pull the trigger.
Yeah, but
and
that's
she
fun.
Did.
But that's fine, pulling the trigger.
Oh, yeah, she did. She slowed down, and she was aiming with every shot. And then we moved to the pistol. Grandpa, would you put your hands over my ears? It's too loud.
Oh. So you didn't bring ear protection. Oh, great. Great grandpa.
I brought her.
She's deaf now for the rest of her life. She's deaf. Great job. Excellent.
Well, yeah, but she's going to get so many benefits because she's handicapped because of grandpa. See, I'm thinking ahead.
I'm telling
she's
you.
She probably already got a college scholarship offer from the left.
For being hearing impaired from grandpa shooting guns.
But she just, every gun I handed her, she pointed it to the ground. She checked to see if it was loaded, checked the safety. And, you know, kids aren't exposed to that so much anymore.
Well, you know, it's one of the fun things, having lived in Europe and met some great people, is they come to visit you. And so over the years, I've taken a large number of my guests, and I say large, you know, most everybody who shows up shooting at Nice Shot Shooting Range. Every one of them, you know, because they're so anti-gun and gun this and gun that and guns kill people and you Americans and you Yanks. And I'm like, guys, let's go shoot. So we go to a Nice Shot and, you know, pay our fees and all the good stuff. And by the end of it, they want to do more. They go, next time we come, we got to come back here and shoot more. So every single time, every single one of them have loved it. And Liz's mom was classic because when we first went, we had a .22 that we brought with us. And it was a handgun, and so she's like, no. And we shamed her into doing it. So finally we shamed her into doing it, and she was just, you know, kind of shaky hand, and all of a sudden she goes, pow, pow, pow. She emptied the gun quickly. She goes, oh, I could easily shoot somebody. So even in a gun, air quotes, hating country, once they get a chance to do it and see that if you do it safely and all this good stuff, there's some fun with it.
All a gun is a tool.
Well, no gun has ever killed a human being ever, not one time, ever. There was a humanoid or something that pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
But the gun itself, you lay it down, fully loaded, has a clip. It's never shot anybody.
You know, if you took a golden sledgehammer and set it on the table there, this is either a tool or a weapon. Somebody's got to get up and hit them in the head with it, like they did with the writers at the a news cafe when they got the Golden Sledgehammer Award.
Yeah.
They got hit in the head a couple of times, I swear. You know, I am doing a podcast now with John Knight on Mountaintop Media. We're on every Friday morning at 7. And if you go to mountaintopmedia.com, you'll have to fish around a little bit because there's three or four sites that come up before ours does. And then you have to click on the shows and click on Jefferson State of Mind with a D, and you'll see us up there. But pretty quick, the name of it is Right Side of the News. We're going to have our own spot on there. You won't have to go to Jefferson State of Mind to see us. We just got to get a few more episodes under our belt.
Well, I gotta say, I watched it, and, I mean, first off, he's a smart guy. You're still a Nick, so that says enough.
Well,
and
he's good looking. The other side explaining things in terms that people can understand.
And he's a good looking guy. You know, unlike me, I've got a face for radio. That guy's a better looking kid, so you're doing well. Good job, man.
Well, yeah, and, I was thinking, what'd I get myself into here every Friday, but you know, I don't get to get up into the mountains like I like to anymore, and, It has kind of taken its place.
Yep. Well, you know, the thing is that I've learned doing this with you. I think this is our third year now that you mistakenly and with bad judgment asked me to join you.
And then bullied Carl.
And then you bullied Carl into a position that I now am working on two shows. When you see like the Joe Rogan and all those guys, it looks so easy, or Tucker Carlson or whatever. But you know, what's funny is when you have to do it over and over and over, It's kind of tough because you got to come up with stuff to say. You got to, you know, plan it. You got to get clips. It's a lot of work to do it. We just do it once every 2 weeks. I can't even imagine what it's like doing it 5 days in a row.
2 hours, like Carl.
I know.
He plays a lot of commercials.
Yes, he does. He loves his advertisers.
So anyway, I went to a new spot to spend the night. I love to go up to the mountains this time of the year and spend the night and star watch and enjoy the peace and quiet.
Yeah.
And I decided to go up to Kellark Reservoir, which is drained now.
Yeah.
But I went up there
I
went up there about a month ago, and I walked around, and the gate was open, and I could drive right up on the levee and spend the night and watch the stars. It was nice and open. So I went up about 2 weeks later, and the gate was locked. But I found a place to park that had a pretty good view. And it wasn't as good as I had hoped. But, you know.
Come back, Joe. Bring it back.
Well, it got so windy at night, I couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a thick sleeping bag. I put a lounge chair in the back of my pickup and just jumped on that because it was just dark till daylight. I was going to be there. And, boy, I was almost wishing I had a little bit more blanket.
No, up in the hills, man. We, as you know, we live up in Shingletucky where the people bark and the dogs talk. And we get winds at night that during the day, you know, it might be light or whatever. And then all of a sudden it gets dark and we get like this rush of wind off of Mount Lassen. And it can be like 35, 40 miles an hour. And the morning you wake up, everything's blown all over the place.
Yes.
But it's calm again. So yes, welcome to the hills, son.
Well, I was thinking this would be heck to try and fight a fire in. It's all overgrown and everything up there, and that wind gets going at night. I remember the Whitmore fire about 40 years ago. The wind changed every direction. It changed directions from morning to night. So at night it'd start blowing down the hill, and they'd run down and fight the front of the fire down there. And in the morning it'd start blowing up the hill, and they'd run around up to the top trying to fight the fire. And they had a heck of a time. But, you know, anymore they had. I think there's a fire bug running around, don't you?
Well, it's funny. As we woke up this morning, we smelled the Redding summer flavor of the month, which was smoke from fires. So we smelled that up in Shingletucky this morning. So, and then coming down the hill, definitely a haze over the whole valley. You come in at about Palisadro and it clears up, but you know, when you're going up the hill or coming down, you see a brown haze. But hey, Nick, one quick thing. Want to give out a quick shout out. Your friend and my friend, Antonina, the Russian lady who was with us when the Russian war started, she's in Yellowstone. She's an American. She became an American, so she's a Yank, but she's exploring our country and she's now in Yellowstone and she's seen bison and Old Faithful and the whole works and she's having a grand time. So thanks for listening, Tony. So there you go.
Hi, Tony.
Little shout out.
Hey, I want to tell everybody right now, go to the archives. Last weekend's show, Kevin Cry's show, was fantastic. He had Chris Street on, and they talked about the feasibility of getting a medical college here in Shasta County and the possibility of getting grants. And Kevin seems to think it's just about ready to give it a go. We're going to do it.
Oh, good.
And I'm stressing to you, go listen to that, and you'll be sold on it. I think it's a wonderful idea myself. It'll be twice the boom to our local economy as Big League Dreams and Stillwater Business Park put together.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and throw in Turtle Bay down there.
Well, hey, don't forget, Stillwater Park's got to come up with about $35 million before it even breaks even. So they've got a ways to go before that's actually going to be a net positive. I don't care if Amazon shows up or not. They're out, I think at last count I saw publicly, they were at like $32 million in cost and cover and, you know, debt service and all works. And that was years ago. So I'm guessing we're up around 35, 36. So Stillwater's got a long ways to go before I'd consider it a net positive. So there you go.
So getting back to going to Kellark Reservoir,
yes.
It was completely quiet. You couldn't hear a sound of civilization. It was very enjoyable. It wasn't the best atmosphere that I prefer. I like to have a little creek by me and a little meadow. And but it was just fine. It'll do in a pinch. But going up there, I went out Highway 44 to the Millville turnoff and turned left and went to Whitmore Road. You go not much more than a mile, and you hit a T intersection. The road to Whitmore, you're heading north, and the road stops, and you can either go left or right.
Yeah.
And I'm driving like Grandpa because I am Grandpa.
Yes, you are.
And I'm like, you know, maybe 80 yards from the T, and this guy comes flying around the corner, didn't attempt to stop at the stop sign, runs over into the ditch with his rear tire on the passenger side, barely gets back up on the road, and I was completely stopped, and he missed me by about 10 or 12 foot.
Wow.
And he just looked at me and kept going, and I could tell by looking at him, he's a tweaker.
Yeah.
I could look at his car. It had a busted windshield that was a spider web, not just a little crack.
Uh-huh.
And it was beat all to heck and dirty as heck, and I'm thinking, I'll bet he doesn't have any insurance. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a stolen vehicle.
I was going to say, it's probably stolen. That's why it's beat like that. They don't care.
So here's what I'm thinking. My pickup is a 2001 Crew Cab Frontier that I bought brand new. It has 120,000 miles on it, and it's going to last me the rest of my life.
Well, you're an old guy.
I don't need a big truck anymore. Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, if he hits me, my insurance is going to give me $3,500. That's the limit for uninsured motorists.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be out what it's going to cost to replace this, which is probably $15,000 or $20,000.
Yep.
And Sheriff Mike Johnson, with his rehab program he wants to institute, is going to send him to rehab, and he's going to come out and be a contributing member to society. I'm out $15,000 or $20,000, and I don't feel whole again. That's why I'm against these rehabs in place of being sentenced and punished for your crime.
Well, you know, we've had prisons in place for a long time, and so we're already paying for that service, and now we're going to do this theoretical help them out. And you remember we had Adam on our show, and he had cancer.
Yes.
And, you know, amazing human being. Love the guy. Won't go for last names, but just love the guy. And he's a rare success story. I mean, even by his own internal going through the process, he says it's about 95% of those people will never, ever get clean. They'll go through the system.
That's right.
And so, you know, this whole thing that Johnson wants to do is basically force feed people into a situation that, unless they're willing to admit that they need help, we're just throwing money down the drain again. Now, if he has people that says raise their hand and say, hey, Mike, please, I want to get clean. But none of them get clean until they get to that point. And Adam told us that. And so when you're talking about Mr. Tweaker in his car, and if in Mike's world goes to the rehab, we'll spend money on the prison, on the rehab, and he'll still come out a tweaker.
I get the biggest kick out of the people that say, well, prison wasn't working. You know, 30 years ago, I think it was working pretty good. We didn't have near the problems we have now.
No. You know, the problem is we are, by our Constitution, which liberals just seem to hate. I mean, it was funny. My wife was on her Facebook feed because she does her stuff on Facebook sometimes. And a number of just heinous anti-American drivel. And it was all one side. It was all left. It was no conservatives doing it. Was amazing. But we used to have law and order. We used to have, if you stole a candy bar from a store, man, the cop shows up, looks down at you, you're going to juvenile, you know, scared straight. And now, it doesn't matter.
And besides that, they hide the crime rate from us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it used to be you had a piece in the paper saying who got arrested, what they got arrested for, and they even had Shasta mugshots, and I love that because you could see what kind of criminals were running around in our community, and it was spooky.
Well, there was a while there, and I don't know if they still do it, but we had Shasta mugshots or whatever, and I don't think they do that anymore because it was deemed, you know, offensive to the criminal, which is, that's how stupid we have become. As conservatives, we've allowed us to be called stupid by letting liberals dictate to us that we can't publish criminals who may go from your house to your grandma's house and do the same thing or worse. We're not allowed to publish those anymore. And I think that we have stopped doing the Shasta mugshots because that was actually interesting because you would click on it and you go, oh, and you see some really bizarre people.
Yeah, you might even see a friend once in a while. Anyway, you know, I got to looking at the news. Let's see, it was Wednesday this last week. I get up about 4 every morning, about 5 o'clock. I click on the Reading Record Searchlight. I still have a subscription that I'm thinking about getting rid of, but it's pretty cheap, and I can see who died that I know. But anymore, they're not even getting in there. So Wednesday, I'm looking at the paper, and I found one article that was local. The weather.
Really?
That's it. You just as well picked up the USA Today.
I'll be darned. I mean, it's owned by who is
Garnet.
Yeah, I'd say the big international company now. So, I mean, the local news is not priority because it's all – it's like, you know, Nick, when you – back during the COVID shamdemic and the fakeness of it, I remember watching stuff where they had feeds from around the world. And all the newscasters were saying exactly, verbatim, to the letter – all the same stuff. There was no news. And so that's what the Record Searchlight is. It's just copy and paste from the USA Today or whatever.
Same thing with whatever they make up that's bad about President Trump. Oh, yeah. It'll be repeated by every, you know, the only place, in my opinion, now that you can get accurate news is podcasts.
Yeah.
And you can sit there and you can look at the people talking.
Well, you know, in today's world of AI, I'm not even sure that's legit anymore.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
Well, you know, I got an article that I forwarded to you and that was forwarded to me, and I want to check into it a little bit, but I know that our listening audience knows about QAnon. During the Trump first time, QAnon was everywhere, you know, and a lot of the things in it, we really wanted to believe what they were doing. There was going to be trials, and they had this, and there was body doubles. And I mean, I had people that were really, like, deep into it. Well, this article comes out, and apparently we're all sourced, and I'm trying to verify it before it gets too much. But basically it's saying, when we talk about news and it, you can trust it, and, you know, podcast. The entire QAnon thing was a Israeli purposeful deception to the American people, along with our government.
They did pretty good.
They did. Well, they did really good. They used us against us. And so, you know, when people would post, oh, they need to do this, well, then that became the new meme, I guess, in QAnon world. But I thought that was very interesting, and that, you know, we do everything in our power to protect Israel from the Middle East, which we don't need to do. They're a very strong country all on their own. And yet our greatest enemy is Israel. They do more sabotage and spying on us than any other country on planet Earth.
And they're pretty good at it too, aren't they?
Well, they're using our tools against us. I mean, that's the thing that's pretty impressive.
Well, we've given our tools to every country in the world.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
You know, I wonder where the world would be technologically speaking if the United States had never happened. You know,
sticks and stones may break my bones.
Well, you know, in the United States, you invent something and you reap the fruits of your labor. In almost every other country in the world, you invent something, the government takes it from you and probably don't even give you credit for it.
Well, you know what's funny is if I ask the average person, I'll ask you, who did the DVD?
Got me.
Okay, who did the CD?
Got me.
Who did VHS?
Who cares?
I'm just telling you. Who did the Walkman? I guarantee everybody listening says Japan. All of those inventions were done by Dutch Philips Company. Dutch Philips developed every one of those, but because they're too small, they couldn't produce it in mass, so they sold the licensing right, and Japan, Sony, and Panasonic gets credit for all of those inventions, but the reality is they're all Dutch Philips inventions. So, you know, that's an example of where a country, you know, pretty smart people did some really cool things, but they couldn't afford to build them, so they sent them off, and other countries got credit for it.
Yeah, but, you know, the difference is, Dutch, whoever it is, sold them.
I know.
Now they just steal it.
Well, not now. That's one of the things that I have beat on when I've had conversations about China. China is dead. Everybody just understand. China is dead. It's dying. It's a cornered animal and cornered animals do. But I mean, if you do research on China, its economy is imploding. Its real estate sector has $9 trillion of defaulted debt. We only had $1 trillion during the Great Recession. But China's never invented anything, ever, zero. They are very good at copying.
Yes.
Copying and then making a really bad copy that's not worth a hoot at very cheap, and then we buy it. And that's our problem. We didn't enforce copyright laws, patent laws, intellectual rights against China.
When did that start?
What's that?
When did that start?
Well, I mean, immediately when Nixon opened up China, the West turned their eyes away as China was stealing everything from the West.
I dare say it got worse at the start of Bill Clinton's presidency.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Billy gave him our gyroscopic missile guidance system.
Yes, Texas Instruments.
Yeah, he gave
let
us,
them export
he,
it.
He let them steal our geoscopic missile directing system. And they now have missiles that can hit us based on our technology that they stole from us, thanks to Mr. Bill Clinton.
Hey, we're going to go to our first clip, and then we're going to go to a break. And right after the break, I'm going to give you something you'll need to write, get a writing pen and write it down, okay? Are you ready with that first clip, Phil? All right. We got us a producer that's on the ball.
Bam.
Now, some breaking news. President Trump and his economists are seriously looking at ways to eliminate property taxes for Americans and return true home ownership rights to the American people. You see, there's been all of this controversy about no kings, that President Trump believes he's a king. The reality is we haven't had a king in 249 years, but if the federal government controls your property ownership in the form of ever-increasing taxation, then the federal government is the king and you are the serf that never fully owns your land or property.
Well, that sounds about right to me. Maybe we'll chat a little bit about that before the break.
Let's go after the break. I can talk about this. This is real estate. I can talk about this for a bit.
Okay.
Why don't we go to a break? It's 8:30. Let's go take a break.
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 KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
I'm Jack Potter Jr., Tribal Chairman for Redding Rancheria. We proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land. Redding Rancheria is proud to play our part.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Okay, we're back. You know, Doug had some ideas, and I've straightened him out over the break, so go ahead.
Well, I've still got a bruise on my left shoulder from the baseball bat you hit me with. You know, folks, I'm a total small government, low tax, get out of my bedroom. I don't care what you believe or who you are. This is America. However, property tax, as corrupt as it is, what I would like to see change is our property tax get collected and stay local. We send it to Sacramento and they send us back a portion of it, not all of it. But if you own property, I think you have an obligation to help, fund the roads, help fund the sidewalks, help fund infrastructure. And once, for all of Redding's west side, that stuff's been there for 70 years, 60 years, and it needs to be maintained and in some cases replaced. And the property tax in a pure system, you pay your property tax and it goes into a pool and it does, it keeps that stuff going. The problem with property tax in at least California, I don't know how it works in other states, is we collect it, we send it to Sacramento, then they send it back to us and then they tell us what we can do with it. And that's not right, because if we could abolish it like they want, like one of Trump's ideas, which would be tremendous, the problem is you got to pick those fees up somewhere. Are you going to go and throw a high $300 a month sewer fee, a $300 a month water service fee? And, it's not that you can use that much, but when it's time to replace that stuff, it costs, $1 million to do a street replacement. So As an agent, I will say we're very lucky up here, and I will give kudos to a government agency I don't normally give a lot of kudos to, but our tax assessor is pretty good. We should be very fortunate in that we're a bunch of good old hicks up here unless they keep bringing these idiot liberals from down south who think they're going to teach us how we do things right. Is our tax assessor, you buy your house for $200,000, that's what you're taxed on. And then Prop 13 says you can only go up by, I think it's 2% or 3% per year if. Well, when the prices went down, so when the market, you know, the Great Recession of 8 to 12, I will say our tax assessor, if you went in and petitioned and said, hey, I bought it for $200, it's now worth $100, they did revise them down in virtually every case that I was ever made aware of. So we have a very fortunate one because a lot of assessors around the state would not do that. Even though the facts were obvious, they would not lower your taxes. So we're pretty lucky at least there. We've got one that's relatively receptive to what the market's doing.
They must have snuck that through on the consent calendar because Modi would have never gone for that. Anyway,
Probably taxes are with us to stay, and I don't know what the option would be if they got rid of it.
That started with Proposition 13. I remember distinctly the money went to Sacramento, and Sacramento gave us a little bit back and decided how we're going to spend the rest. And I remember reading where California went on a spending spree.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, hey, you just lost your main stream of income and you're spending money.
Yep.
And no matter what they do, if they cut out the property taxes right now, we've still got to pay these overinflated pensions and overinflated salaries. I hope it comes to fruition, but they're going to have to replace it with another tax.
Well, or fees, something, because if you own property, I feel you have an obligation to be part of the whole communism, I guess, be it. But if a sewer line goes out in your street, I think that you as the street need to, you know, fix it, air quotes. But the problem is you as the street are not going to fork over $20,000 to fix your section of the pipe. So by spreading it out over long term and funding, it becomes an overseeable fix.
Okay, I've got an announcement here. On August 9th, 2025, this comes from Dick Wilkinson. There's a steak dinner and raffle. The steak dinner is $25. The raffle is $10 a ticket. They're only selling 200 tickets. It's for a 9mm gun. It's to help fix up the Reading Grange.
Huh.
And it's a worthwhile deal, in my opinion. I might go down there for dinner. I'm not much on raffles and stuff. I've never won anything. But that's on August 9th, 2025. And you can contact Dick at 530-246-9135. And then I'm going to plug for my podcast one more time before we hit clip number two there, Phil. Right Side of the News, mountaintopmedia.com, Friday mornings at 7 o'clock, John Knight and Nick I.M.
Nick I.M. Your brother is, what's that one? What's the dude on those Black Eyed Peas?
Will I
Am. Will I Am.
You figured out where I got that.
I figured out right away, son. I mean, you know, I am half your age, for crying out loud.
Let's hit number two. Or clip number two.
All right, now,
two.
A leaked document from the Biotechnology Innovation Organization, or BIO, reveals a $2 million hit campaign to discredit RFK Jr., the U.S. Secretary for Health and Human Services. This money seeks to undermine his regulatory reform agenda. Obtained by a whistleblower and published by Popular Rationalism, the memo from BIO's Vaccine Policy Steering Committee outlines a strategy to lobby members of Congress, manipulate the American public, and remove RFK Jr. from office by September of 2025. The document, whose authenticity is still being reviewed, exposes a coordinated effort by pharmaceutical giants like Pfizer, Merck, Novavax, and others to discredit and remove RFK Jr. by September of this year. They don't like that he wants stricter safety standards, vaccine transparency, liability restoration, and transparent data for parents. The memo details a multi-pronged plan deploying surrogates like Dr. Oz, and the American Enterprise Institute to pose a neutral or opposing voice to RFK Jr. and to launching a Why We Vaccinate campaign on TV, radio, and other places. The multi-million dollar effort seeks to remove RFK Jr., publicly discredit him, label him as an anti-vaccine nut that knows nothing about science or medicine in order to remove him. It also seeks to divide the relationship he has between RFK Jr. and President Trump. So why are they trying to do this? They're obviously terrified that he's going to remove billions of dollars in profits for them. Also, RFK has promised to expose the chronic illness and the underlying causes of autism in America by September of this year. Oh, isn't that interesting? So let's discredit this guy before he's able to announce why so many Americans are chronically sick and why 1 in 30 children ends up autistic, with 1 in 12 boys in California now being autistic.
Bam.
Yes, autistic. Some of them kids are just like they've had lobotomies.
Well, you know, there's story after story after story of kids who were healthy, normal, and everything else, and at 5 or 6 went to go get vaccines, and then they turned autistic after getting the vaccines. And, you know, I've looked at Robert RFK as a in a conundrum sense, in that his history is full of wacky, quacky, weird crap, to be honest with you. Then he gets in there and he's doing some of the good stuff. And what really irritates me is we're going to expose the dang thing. Just get it out there now, because it's like Dan Bongino and Patel on FBI. Well, we're going to get the Epstein. Get it out. So he keeps saying that. However, RFK did cross a line for me that, I'm not saying, and this is his own words. This wasn't blackmail. This wasn't Big Pharma. He testified to Congress that he thinks every American should be wearing some kind of monitoring device for their health, so the government can keep an eye on every one of us. His own words. I saw it. It wasn't AI generated. That to me scared the heck out of me, because if that man really thinks that that's a good thing, to put a monitoring device, like one of those Apple Watch kind of things, that they can pull up Nick's heart rate, or is Nick drinking a beer at night, or is that was actually, he lost a lot of credibility to me, because if he really was out for the individual human and better health outcomes, policing us with a watch type device so they can keep an eye on us. That one really got me, but I get so irritated with these morons who say, we are going to, if you have the evidence, put it out there now before they can discredit you. Put it out right now and say, this is what we have. We'll have more in a couple months. Then he can short circuit all of this stuff that this thing just talked about. He can put out there, this is what we've discovered. More will be dumped in September. Then they can't discredit him. But if he waits until September, that gives him 2 months of QB time to plan and attack him.
It is only 2 months, isn't it? Well, the thing is, if he puts something out and he's wrong about it, he can get sued pretty bad by them pharmaceuticals. Oh, he's cost them so much money. But
I wish Trump would take away the liability protection. He, before he gave us the death jab, because Trump gave us the death jab, don't ever forget that, folks. He's the one that was so proud he had Operation Warp Speed, which has killed tons of people.
If they could have just pointed it towards liberals, we'd be okay with it.
Well, my point being is he takes credit for that, but he won't ever apologize for the damage it's done. But Trump is the one that gave the Big Pharma the protection from liability. And I mean, I don't know if they could go back and retroactively open that up, but Trump's the one that put it in place. I would hope that if RFK is serious, take that liability protection from him. And I promise you, vaccines will disappear from our markets. I promise you, if you take that away from him.
Clip number three, please. Here's something you haven't heard. I know you haven't.
Now, there has been another attempt on President Trump's life. It was evaded thanks to a girlfriend whistleblower. So this is not as strong as the other ones, but nevertheless something that the FBI took serious and it ended up being absolutely true. The FBI arrested two Florida men, Isaiah Oglesby and James Thomas Goolsbee, for allegedly plotting to bomb the White House and commit mass murder. The plot, dubbed as Skibidi Massacre, was uncovered by Oglesby's girlfriend. She then alerted authorities to his social media posts. These included violent rhetoric, anti-Semitic and anti-Christian comments, and a plan to radicalize his son. The Pinales County Sheriff investigated and got the FBI involved, and it led to the arrest of these two men. So kudos to this girlfriend for having the courage to...
Well, there you go, another assassination attempt that they admit to. I wonder how many there's really been.
Well, that was going to be my point of view. I mean, you know, when you get in the public eye, as even just an actor or an entertainer or a sports person, you get death threats. I mean, you read about it all the time. So this is when they're publishing. How many do they get every day that they don't publish? I don't know.
Well, this one was pretty serious because they arrested him.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to give them credit for being bold and audacious. They were going to try to blow up the White House, probably the most secure building in the world. Yeah, well, let's just drive a tank through the front gate. They won't even see us coming.
You know, when I was in Washington, D.C., you could see three or four snipers up on top of the White House all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They keep a real close eye on that.
That's 24/7. They've got people on the roofs. There is, if I remember correctly, after 9/11, if I remember correctly, there is also an anti-aircraft battery hidden on the grounds that if a plane was coming in or a missile, they could launch from the White House somewhere on the grounds. A defensive mechanism. So give these guys credit. They were dreaming big.
So I've got one more really good clip coming up, and I'm going to give you a phone number after this clip. And this is to hold James Comey, James Clapper, and John Brenner accountable for lying to the Intelligence Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for clip number four, Phil? Yep.
All right. Yesterday I told you how General Michael Flynn will be strongly encouraging President Trump to have the Department of Justice arrest and indict those that tried to betray our country and overthrow President Trump's first term. They endangered America. They divided the country. I mean, there's still people that believe Donald Trump is a Russian asset controlled by Vladimir Putin. It's pathetic, but it's the truth. Well, now, well-known members of Congress are coming forward saying this is actually building momentum. Here's one of them. Representative Greg Stobbs demands the intelligence chairman bring in James Comey, James Clapper, and John Brennan to be questioned about how they conspired against President Trump.
Can we have your word, Congressman? Certitude, because our audience is ravenous for this story. We read through the entire CIA top line report this morning, spent the first hour on it. We have your word that the Intel Committee will subpoena Brennan, Clapper, and Comey to answer for this.
You've got my word. I'm not the chairman, so I don't get to make that discussion, but I'm certainly going to have that conversation with Chairman Crawford that they absolutely should be come in, and not just a hearing, because a hearing is just 5 minutes for each of the members. They need to be deposed under oath, prepared, maybe even bring in outside counsel that specialize in this type of criminal cross-examination, put them under oath, and depose them and ask them these tough questions. I absolutely 100% support that. And I think it needs to happen. There's got to be accountability for all this stuff that happened under Trump's first term.
Okay, and if you find that they're lying, as John Brennan has lied, egregiously he has lied, demonstrably he has lied to the Senate Intel Committee, will you be sending criminal prosecution suggestions to the DOJ?
Absolutely. If there's evidence to support that, absolutely we will do that.
Oh, man, there's evidence, my friend. There is absolute evidence.
So here we go. That was Representative Greg Stubbe, Steubbe. He's from Florida. Steubbe. I've got his phone number now. They go on and say that if you would call his office, that the representatives and the Senate, when they get a call, they feel that that represents 1,000 people. So if you called his office and said that you are all in favor of them being brought in, questioned, and prosecuted, it would go a long ways. This is his number, 202-225-5792. All you've got to do is call up and say you are in favor of getting to the bottom of these people being dishonest with the Intel Committee and that you want them prosecuted. His number is 202-225-5792. His name is Greg Steube, S-T-E-U-B-E. And, boy, I'm going to call, and I can't emphasize enough. The only way some of this is going to happen is if we insist on it.
What do I say?
Make that call. It's free.
Yeah, make the call. But, you know, I'm a realist. Trump came in with this whole deep state thing, and I ask everybody who's listening, name one person who's been prosecuted. Name one. Who's been arrested. Who's been – Clinton. The Clintons have more dirt on them than anybody on planet Earth. They're going to walk. George Soros is going to walk.
It's all past the statute of limitations.
Well, it doesn't matter. Treason, there is no statute of limitations.
I agree with you.
Obama, Schumer, Pelosi, I could go on and on. McConnell, they've all created or committed absolute treason and heinous crimes. You've got Big Pharma who knowingly gave us a death shot on Gino. Patel, Bondi, none of them have done anything except make promises. We still do not have the Epstein files. We still do not have the JFK files. Please call. But I'm telling you right now, they're going to get there. And what they're going to do, I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. And what they'll do is they'll litigate it out till after Trump is gone. The case will get dismissed and nothing will happen. And I want to see, and I've said it before on this show, I think I said it on Carl's show, I want vengeance. I'm going to play little God here and say I want to see heads roll. I want people who did this to us and our country. I want their heads on platters. I want to watch it. I want to know that in the future, anybody who thinks they're going to do this and get away with it, they know that's going to happen. And that's why they keep doing it, is because they get away with it. And I would love to see this lead to something, Nick. I really would. Let's check on it in 6 months. But I fear it will go nowhere. Like he guy said, he's not the chairman of the committee. He's got to convince somebody. He's got to go convince somebody. I mean, look how stupid this is. He's got to go convince a senior congressperson to actually bring these guys on. And you would think that that would be self-evident, that the chairman would go, we need to bring these guys on. He says he's not the chairperson, and he's got to convince them to do it. What do you need to convince when you have absolute overwhelming, 100% ironclad, beyond a shadow of a doubt, or reasonable doubt, these guys committed treason to our country? And you got to do another congressional hearing for it. I mean, they've already got all the they've already got all the previous statements and all the evidence that it was all lies. They don't need to have a hearing for this. They've got it all. Arrest these people immediately and put them in the January 6th prison.
You want to pull a trap door with the hangsmen?
I would do it. I would gladly do it myself if it saves our country.
They ought to sell tickets, $10 tickets, raffle tickets to who gets to pull the trap door.
I was reading some stuff online because I try to keep prepared for what our show is, and then also when I go on Carl. And it was interesting to see how many conservative voices really were not happy about July 4th this year. And I got to say, I'm one of those, because this is not the country we grew up in. This is not – I didn't grow up to defend wokeism. I didn't grow up to do DEI. I didn't grow up to do ESG. I didn't grow for homeless people destroying our streets. This is not the America we were promised. But this is the America we're handing to our kids, and they think it's okay. They think they're being compassionate.
Well, you can thank the liberals.
Well, I'm saying, but they think it's okay.
You can thank, for Redding, you can thank Christian Schrader and Leonard Modi.
Oh, I know. But I mean, that we're just a micron in a universe of badness. And I don't want to sound down, but I mean, so this whole thing about this hearing, they don't need to bring them on. They already have all the evidence. Just arrest Comey, Brennan, and Clapper. They already got it. They already have all the statements. They know what the truth is because the evidence came out. arrest them.
On their emails. They've got it.
They've got it.
They used to have a jail cell there at the House of Representatives, and if you didn't want to answer the question, you could go sit in that jail cell till you did.
Yeah.
They should bring that back, in my opinion.
Well, nowadays we've got
you know,
better
there's
lawyers.
A PSYOP being run in Reading. I don't know if anybody realizes it or not. The news came out that the big, beautiful bill was going to cut Medicaid, so... what's her name? Susan Marie Wilson, since she was accused of giving herself some benefits she wasn't entitled to. She goes by Susan Marie Wilson instead of Susan Wilson now. Like we're so dumb we can't figure it out. It's the same person. But the thing is, they had a forum down here at the Community Health Center of how these Medicaid cuts, these health care cuts, could affect the local people here.
Could.
And they had a big to-do and a couple of liberal speakers there and scared everybody half to death. And the people are walking away. They're going to think this is what happened. The fact is not 1 cent was cut from California's Medicaid.
Yeah.
And then the same thing's happening with selling some of the forest, the national forest. Not one piece of forest in California is being sold, but they've already scared everybody that they want to sell Yosemite. El Capitan's up for bid.
Well, you know what? I think that we need to get the government out of, I mean, you know, Yellowstone, Yosemite, you know, pick 10 parks that are of national renown and importance and get rid of, sell the rest. We're the largest, air quotes, we, the people, are the largest owner of land in the United States. We don't pay any property tax or anything on that. There's no economic benefit for most of it because it's just vast pieces of dirt. And there's not enough money to develop all of that dirt based on current cost anyways. But get it out of our thing. The government was never supposed to own land. It was never, by the Constitution, designed to own land.
But the thing is, since Obama went in, probably Clinton to boot, they started taking over. Like, you take the Bundys down there, the last standing ranch out of 53 ranches. All that property went to the BLM.
Yep.
And that was to develop a solar plant down there for Harry Reid's. So how much property have they taken over the years for projects like this that have taken out of the private sector? And it's worthless. It's not paying taxes. It's let's sell it back.
Well, Nick, you know, you're not a smart guy, but I do listen to you. You know, you're a good guy.
That's one of your smart decisions you've made, is listening to me.
But you brought something to our listeners last time we were on about the project down in Fresno, outside of Fresno. Well, that was productive, privately owned farmland for decades, if not maybe a generation of three. And then they shut the water off in the last drought. They shut it off, and they killed all of that land.
It's arid land now. It's no good for nothing.
And for generations, it produced tons and millions of tons of fruit and who knows, walnuts. Who knows what it produced, but it produced everything.
They saved the snail darter.
Well, then they killed it. Then they killed it by intention. The government killed it. And now, as you point out, they're trying to take it over, basically, by putting a solar battery installation on land that used to be productive. That's what our government does.
The biggest one in the world, and Fresno County didn't even know it was happening.
That's my point. And that's what the government does. That's why it needs to get out of owning properties. You know, I understand Yellowstone. It's too massive, too vast, and you got to protect it. And Yosemite, there are things. But when you see some of the stuff that's been protected, you're like, really? BLM can get rid of all of its land and we wouldn't even notice it.
That's right.
We wouldn't even notice it. Notice
that it's managed a little bit better.
It'd be managed a lot better. We'd have a lot less fires here locally if they got rid of the federal government out of the mess, because we'd have logging going on and we'd have, you know, Liz and I drove to Mill Creek the other day and for a brunch and all the fire scar, it's sad because that will never be harvested. That'll look that way in 30 years still because it's all federal land.
Oh, 30 years, my rear end, it'll burn again because the only thing that's coming up is brush.
Yep. So, I think we've got another show in the books there, Nick.
Well, I've got some other good news. 500,000 Haitians have self-deported.
Haitians or Haitians?
Haitians.
Haitians.
You know, I was just checking.
You were checking to see if I was paying attention.
I was going to send you to Al Grey or Alcatraz if you weren't. Boy, talk about a good idea. Trump says if you run away, zigzag.
Yeah. Well, you know, folks, it's going to be a hot one today. It's going to be smoky, so stay cool, stay out of the smoke, and we'll be back in 2 weeks to see what we can bring to you.
Okay, and you know, if we get done removing all the non-citizens from the census, the left will lose 20 House of Representatives seats.
Yep.
I sure hope that comes to fruition.
Yeah, fruition, but I like your word use. You're good today.
Thank you. I'm talking local dialect here. If I was up in Town Hall, Shingletown, I'd be barking.
KCNR, Shasta Redding, by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.